From Capital Analytics, I'm Abby Malone, and this is Invest Insights. Each week, we bring you perspectives, business advice, and more from the leading executives, entrepreneurs, and investors who are building, diversifying, and leading the way in the country's fastest growing metro areas. Real leaders, real insights, right now. Welcome to Invest Insights. In today's episode, I speak with Phil Purcell, the president and CEO of the Marine Industries Association of South Florida, on how the world's largest boat show, the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show, is moving forward in person. This podcast was recorded on September 28th, 2020.
Phil, how did your organization respond and adapt to the initial challenges presented by the pandemic? And how is Marine Associations of South Florida providing opportunities and assistance to the marine industry overall?
Sure, great question. So, you know, MAS, it's in its 61st year, so it's always been kind of a solution-based organization. And so in January, and I kind of got to lead into it this way, because in January, you know, I sat with a lot of leaders in the industry and asked, hey, what do you think? What's 2020 look like? And it was either flat or down. And so they weren't sitting here going, you know, it's an election year, there's a lot of moving parts, we've had a really strong economy, and equally important, the industry's benefited. So then you look and you kind of knew based on signs of automobile sales and everything else that we were in a recession in February, right? And so that was weighing heavy. And then you walk into March and you start seeing what's going on the West Coast, what's going on in China, and they're shutting down Wuhan and they're doing all these things. And then you realize how global this thing's really starting to spread. So we acted really quickly in terms of our organization. We started working remotely mid-March, and we did it there's underlying health issues in any organization, and we're no different. So we did it to benefit the employees, and then had to start figuring out, okay, how are we going to adapt to this? Okay, we've all Zoomed a little bit before, or this, or FaceTimed, or WebEx, or whatever it is, but okay, well, let's get better at it. Let's figure it out. Let's look at platforms. And so we did, and we kept following global, local, and then all of a sudden these orders start coming down federally, but more importantly on the state basis and local basis. And they'd come out late in the day, you know, from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. every day was the worst thing because new things would come out. And then the enforcement of those things were going to be interesting. We also had to look at our industry, you know, how do we keep it essential? Marine, while it's huge economic benefit, it has no NICS codes nationally. And so we had to look at a lot of those things, and we're following aviation, we're following automotive. So through advocacy and stuff, we educated our elected officials to the importance of why it's important to keep our industry open. Because you can't take a boat of a certain size range and mothball it. It has HVAC, it has sanitation, it has electrical needs. And equally important, those boats in particular, that's where the crew live to maintain them. That's their job. That's the insurance covenants that are in place. So you just can't say, Hey, guess what? 20 people on that boat have to leave, or 7 people, because again, those are literally small cities. So every day we worked because there was a new order that could be enforced by police or this. But then we had to understand what social distancing means, what masking means, how are we going to work with that, sanitation. And I can tell you, our industry, damn, they took this challenge on head on and adapted very quickly. The marinas, the yards, everyone, because they realized, hey, we're essential, but we have to show leadership to the community, but also important, we got to keep our employees safe. And they did. They did a really good job keeping our employees safe.
You know, I'm kind of curious, how did those conversations with elected officials go? It's an election year. Stakes are quite high all around. What did it kind of feel like when you were speaking with them?
Early on, there wasn't any politics in the conversations. I think as it has grown or it's morphed and the time is spent, there's more politics, and again, not wanting to be political, I think more politics have entered some of these conversations. But initially, we had to educate, you know, an attorney that works for a county or works for a city manager or a county manager. We had to educate them in terms of what our industry is, who it is, who it serves. And again, keep in mind, the industry pays 16% higher than the state average, and it is a diverse group of people that, as we get into this later, apprenticeship programs and things like that. So we had to look at how do we educate them to the importance of our industry, which we always do, but how do we make sure it stays open also? Even fueling, down to fueling on a boat, it became, you know, because of optics on a sandbar or something, it became bad. But as you know, outdoor recreation, whether it was RVs, climbing, boats, zoomed through this pandemic. And equally important, 2.2% of the GDP.
You mentioned the apprenticeship program that you have, and I wanted to ask about the Yacht Service Technician Apprentice Program and how you have adapted it given the pandemic climate.
So what we are finding, again, is people age out. A lot of people in the industry look a lot like me. And so kids always want to, you go to high schools and they say, hey, I want to be, you know, they all want to be Sergey Brin, or they all want to be, you know, Facebook. But the reality of it is that can happen to them, but the majority won't. And so there's great career paths that pay family wages, that you can buy a house, a car, send your kids to college right here in our industry, but the locals don't know about it. So we worked with Atlantic Technical and started the first ever yacht technician program with the help of the yards and the different organizations that will employ them. And so during this, again, classes became Zoom, but a lot of it is, you know, the apprentices work already. So they kept working as essential part of this industry also during the pandemic. And I'm happy to report that we just did a follow-up with Atlantic Technical and the initial founders of this this platform, this yacht technician program. And again, it's going to grow again this year, because I know some of the things, well, where do you think it's going to be next year? I bet it doubles by this January, based upon the interest of the organizations wanting to come board and understanding that if we want our community to have the right skill sets and the right people to fill these roles, then we better invest in ourselves and do it. And that's what our industry is doing. They're stepping up and doing it.
At a time when many organizations are canceling events or having them only virtual, the Fort Lauderdale International Boat Show, which is one of the biggest conventions that happens in the state of Florida, is still happening this year. How are you working towards maintaining the same level of quality while considering safety measures to host this big event?
So again, you got to look for best practices, and that's part of what you do. You start looking over a fence and go, oh, look what they're doing. So we didn't have to look that far. We just looked up to Orlando. And we looked at Disney, and we looked at Universal. Universal opened June 5th, and they see anywhere from 10 to 30,000 people a day. And Disney opened July 11th, and they see 10 to 30,000. Then we said, okay, well, what are the similarities? Well, a lot of that acreage is 108 acres for Universal, 107 for Disney. Disney Flibs is 90 acres, 80-plus percent of it's outside. It's a five-day event that sees, in good times, 100,000 people. So that's 20,000 people a day. So we said, okay, well, how do we do this? Informa, we're real fortunate here, and the state of Florida is fortunate to have Informa, which is the largest leader of global exhibitions in the world, and they have an office on 17th Street in Fort Lauderdale. So they got at the table early because, again, they have Asian shows also. You know, 100 of them are domestic, but the rest are international. So they created best standards in this document called All Secure, which face, temp, sanitation, social distancing. And again, this isn't rocket science to be able to do these things. But we have to put in the disciplines to do that. And so the nice thing is when you think of Flibs, someone will say, well, the international this. Time out. 100,000 attendees, 50% from Florida, 40% domestic, 10% somewhere else. And when you have an event that delivers $1.3 billion economic benefit to the state, you can't just think about our industry. You got to think about the community, the hotels, the restaurant workers, the Uber drivers, everybody. And so that's what we've done. Water taxi. That's what we've done here is it's not just about our industry to get this off, but it's a best practice that anyone can use. And you can't compare it to a concert. You can't compare it to these other things. You look at stadiums, they're seeing 13,000 people, you know, in a stadium that's smaller in the physical sense than the 90 acres of Flibs. So between Informa, ourselves, and the willingness of the public, they're going to grocery stores. They're going to hardware stores. They're going to malls. And, you know, even our tents as an example. The average store that I described, whether a grocery or a place you get tools, they recycle their air once every 6 hours. Just only a little bit of our show is tents. Like I said, 80-plus percent outdoors. It will recycle the air once an hour using HIPAA filters. So there's nothing out that currently people are going out in that's going to deliver that type of efficiency.
The contribution from the marine industry to the GDP for the state of Florida is immense. As we start to plan for post-pandemic and getting ourselves out of the economic recovery, what are the things that you would like to see, things that we need to plan for to safeguard the marine industry?
So, you know, there's always headwinds anywhere. And a headwind could be infrastructure. It could be transportation. It could be electeds not understanding something and putting things in place that could harm an industry. And so this industry, everybody wants in the world, you know, in Broward, it's an $8.9 billion industry. Regionally, it's $12 billion industry. But we just need to make sure and advocate, just like infrastructure, how can you be in the sixth largest metropolitan area? And we know we can't widen 995 anymore. And then we have this corridor called FEC, a bridge that goes over the New River. And so working with the community, being at the table versus on the menu, we were on the menu for a long time. Now we're at the table. And so by being there, now we have advocacy in terms of, you know, the Broward County for regionalism to happen on that corridor. Broward County has to be at the table, and I'm happy to report they are. and by building something iconic over Broward Boulevard, carrying it over the New River, you know, we have so many opportunities. Maybe the Panthers move downtown. Equally important, it services areas, whether in Miami or the Sistrunk area or whatever, for people that can get to jobs very conveniently without driving.
The past number of months have been incredibly challenging for the world. And so I wanted to ask you as my last question, what have the last number of months taught you about resilience?
Great question. And so first you got to have some self-awareness. And the self-awareness in my mind is you got to know what the problem is. And then you got to kind of let go of what you know and start adapting to what you don't know. And that's like the physical side of it, which would be Zoom. Okay, so we didn't know Zoom. None of us could say we loved Zoom before. But guess what? It's created more efficiency in most people's lives than ever before. And then the other part is you have to be positive during these things, because either you have two choices, like in a financial crisis. You can get a fetal position and cry and do nothing, or you come up with solutions. So we choose to stand up straight, work through the problems direct, find out where the headwinds are. And then equally important is you go through it by doing nothing creates action and unintended consequences. So you have to think through things positively, work with the people that are making the decisions, in this case, electeds, and create action that's going to benefit and move us forward. Because I don't think you or I can answer when the back end of COVID is. Could be next year, could be 2 years. There's always going to be something new. One thing that I've learned from listening to people, and I love listening to Gates and Buffett and those things, is the cyclicality of the world is going to get a lot more severe. So whether it's economic, pandemic, whatever it may be, right? Financial, the reality of it is we're going to adapt and continue to adapt and make the best choices with leadership in our industry and our community that we're all proud of.
You have been listening to Invest Insights. Be sure to follow, rate, and review this podcast to hear more. I'm Abby Maloney. Thank you for tuning in.